All right, brethren, if you will, let's turn to Psalm 63. I've took my title out of verse 3 because our loving kindness is better than life. This is better than life. And we like living pretty good, don't we? I pray the Lord be with us. Be better than bouillon for you. And there ain't nothing better than that. It's the best thing for us. Better than life. And we remember, too, this is a song. David wrote this and they sang it. Just like we just sang some hymns. They sang this song. I don't think we'll weep this song. I think we'll sing this song. I heard a friend of mine, been pastoring longer than I've been alive, and he said he saw a very experienced man. I don't know who. Preached a long time. Faithful man. A man God made faithful. And two times in his life, he said he saw that man get up, and he got about halfway through a message, and he said, I just ain't got nothing for you. And he closed his Bible and he sat down. And I dwelled on that all day yesterday and the day before and the day before that. And I thought, Lord, I don't have nothing. And then how could I read this and not have something? And then he turned it on. I said, Lord, you got to give me a message. And then it was a song to be sung. This is wonderful. How did I not see it that way? David's in the wilderness of Judah. And he has some enemies. And I want us to notice in the first 8 verses here, this is the attitude we are to have before we deal with our enemies. This is a good thing to do. Don't tell me what to do. Believe on God and praise Him and think on Him. That's a good thing to do. We ought, out of a debt of gratitude, if He's done something for us and He's loved us, we ought to love Him. We ought to love Him. Is how to deal with enemies. And what kind of enemies? I got to thinking about that. David's here in the wilderness in Judah, and Saul was coming, and it was David and a whole mess of 600 of them, and they had to find some place to hide. And Saul was out to kill him. And our enemies could be those that hate the gospel, vocally, outwardly. You may have some family members, and they say, if your God's God, I don't want nothing to do with him. I've had people tell me that, of my family. And they're telling the truth, but some people are enemies just not across the gospel, just because they're not nice. You know? Some people say, well, the world's out to get me. Well, maybe I'm a jerk. You know, maybe I made some dumb decisions. Maybe somebody ought to get on to me a little bit. Could be enemies of the body. You ever feel like you got enemies inside your joints? I want to have a positive outlook. I do. I want to be a jovial person, and I remember that little thing an old lady said one time. They said, how was your day? And she said, I had a great day. And she goes, willpower helped me get out of bed. And as soon as I got up, Charlie Horse, he came to visit me. He stuck around a while, and as soon as he leaves, Arthur Itis shows up, and he stays the rest of the day. But he doesn't like to stay in one place very long, so he takes me from joint to joint. And then, Ben Gay, he comes and helps me go to sleep. That's a good outlook, isn't it? That's of a carnal person that doesn't know God. I hope I could have a good outlook, being one that's had Christ revealed to them. Enemies that inhabit your mind. You ever had enemies there? Been all alone. Would this be true on a deserted island? The thoughts that you have. That person that looks you back in the mirror, that body of death that's the bulk of us. It's got the same name that new man has. They're both called Kevin. Seems to be my worst enemy most days. How should I deal with that enemy of the mind? How should I deal with what we call enemies of providence that we're always murmuring and bellyaching about in our jobs or in our bodies? Or what about those that really are that hate the gospel and they're really going? First 8 verses. Stay with me. Psalm 63. Let's begin this way. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help. Therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now verse 9. David gets to those enemies. He was hide out in the wilderness when Saul came to kill him, and they just liberated that city. And David said, will this city protect me, or they give me over to Saul? And the Lord said, they'll give you over to Saul. He said, can I stay over there? And the Lord said, no. So he had to go run and hide, didn't he? And while he was surrounded and they were looking for him and he was hiding, he penned this song. This is what he was singing. He was whistling, humming, and this is what come out of his hand. He was in dire straits, wasn't he? Had six, you think, have 600 people, that's a battalion-sized element, and then said, we got to hide. That's a formidable opposition, isn't it? Now he brings up those enemies. Verse 9. For those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. I thought, that's 10 verses, isn't it? 8 of those is just focusing on the Lord and his mercies and praising him and thanking him and having joyful lips. And then 2, he brought up the things concerning his enemies. And I thought, boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? I pray the Lord would make me focus on him 8 out of 10 verses. If I could focus on him and his mercies and the good things he's done for me, count your blessings. I feel terrible. Okay, get you out a pen and a piece of paper and start thinking for everything, thankful for the Lord, either carnal or spiritual or whatever. Just start writing stuff down. Thank you for blood. What about carnally? Thank you for food and housing and clothes. And thank you for air conditioning. I appreciate that. And heat in the wintertime. Just start writing them down. Turn that frown upside down. If we can focus on him 8 out of 10 times, or 8 out of 10 days of the month, or 8 out of 10 hours of the day, or 8 out of 10 minutes, or 8 out of 10 seconds, would that, early, before the sun comes up, would that impact my attitude or outlook on life at all? Would I have permanent creases because I frown all the time? Or would I have some crow's feet because I'm smiling all the time? What would that make my face look like? Would that change it some? Verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. That's good, isn't it? Don't you hate lies? Ever hear lies? I don't like them. I've told them and I thought, why'd I say that? I didn't even like it and I'm the one that said it. Can we have this? Can we have ice cream? Well, we'll see. We ain't going to see. The answer is no. If I say, well, that's what my parents always told me. Let me think about it. That meant no, right? Just tell me no. And that's just carnal things. I can't stand hearing people lie on God. And I can't stand them telling young people or my family or my friends or you or anybody else things that God doesn't say. That's wrong. I don't like it. And there'll come a day when all that nonsense and that lie will be over. And that ignorance will be over. I look forward to that. I look forward to that. That's the Lord's doing. It'll be stopped, won't it? Let's go through this and just, I just want to touch on a few things and talk with you. Things that just stuck with me as I read through this week and when it stood out. Here in verse 1, this is a Psalm of David whenever he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now remember, he's pinned down. The enemy's looking for him. And so he writes this. O God, thou art my God. A lot of people say that, don't they? A lot of people talk about God. Many say that there is a God. I believe in God. But you know what they say? They tell him no. Oh, no, I've done that. In the Lord's providence, something happened. You drop something or flat tire, have a wreck or something breaks. No, no. We're telling God no. That's 2 out of 10. That ain't the first eight, is it? David's saying here, oh God. There's a few people. Many people say they believe in God and they have a God. And it's their God, but that's a lowercase g, isn't it? Because he does whatever they want him to. And he bends their will. And they can gang up on him and get him to do things. Let's have a big old prayer list and get my neighbor's cousin's dog sitter to not have cancer no more. That makes my blood boil. We got to remember that David starts out, who's he talking to? I wish mankind could get a hold of who they're talking to. This is God. Our God is God. And it's not just that he's a sovereign, omnipresent, omnipotent, omnipotent God that rules and reigns. He's our God. How could he be our God? Well, he's God over everybody and everybody's God's. Well, yeah, he owns everything. He's revealed himself to us. We didn't deserve that. There's a great revival in San Diego County right now. How many people in this county deserve to be saved? None. Lord sent me here to preach to one. Guess what? That's a big job. That's miraculous. That's the work, like we saw last hour. Salvation's of the Lord. That's impossible with men. That's who our God is. And he's revealed himself to us. And what revealed Christ to us? Well, you know, I got me a good degree in theology. I got a master's in theology and dead dog, doctor of divinities, and all those things. No, that's not it. Well, the traditions of our fathers. My mommy and daddy was believers, and their mommy and daddy's were believers, and we've just been believers all the way back to Adam. Not most cases, no. They don't know God. We didn't receive us from traditions of our fathers and mothers. Only God can reveal God. And he's going to do it through the preaching of the gospel. How are we going to have faith? By hearing. Well, I don't think so, Kevin. I read. Well, Lord said hearing, so take it up to him. He ain't the one that's lost. Mankind is. And he's found us, and he's our God. And that's something. Where's he at? I've had people tell me that trials have come on my life, and they say, Kevin, you gave so much for religion. They don't know. They don't know anything. Trying to be nice as they can be. I said, you gave so much. I can't believe God would do something like that to you or give you that illness or that trial that you had or that whatever. Why wouldn't he? The heathen asked David, where is your God now? Where is now their God? And he said, but our God's in the heavens. And it ain't just that he's up there and twiddling his thumbs waiting on us to see what we'll do. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Don't that make you comfortable? God's on his throne. And we know him. He's revealed himself to us. How much is milk down at Albertsons? Who cares? God's revealed himself to us. The God that is God is on his throne, and that's my God. He's proved it to me. What'd Thomas say? Come here, Thomas. Give me a hand. Come here, boy. Come here, son. Put your hand right here. Feel it. He said unto him, my Lord and my God. Not some old gray-haired man up in the big man upstairs. Don't you say those things. That's the Lord. He rules and reigns. It's our king up there. Well, it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Early. When is that? Well, let's talk to our youth for a little while. Young people. This is very important. This is a good thing. We have so many distractions. This is proof the Lord's taking his hand off it. Used to a man got up before the sun come up and went and plowed all day and worked hard and got a little bit of food and put it up. And he was in bed by dark because he's wore out and tired. And they had time to go out there and think of this, get up early and read the scriptures and go out and think on what the Lord said in the scriptures while you're plowing, not looking back, looking ahead, or you'll have crooked lines. That's what he said in his word, wasn't it? Even the plowing of the wicked is disgusting in his sight. It's evil in his sight. And you think about those things all day long, and you talk to your children, and you sit down and had time to do things, and you encouraged them. And then you went to bed early. Early to bed and early to rise. That's a simple life, isn't it? You had time for services. You had time to get up, prepare yourself, and pray. Lord, give that man a message before you got down there. Time to get ready and anoint yourself. Wash up. Get your good clothes. Start your Sunday best. Put your Sunday best on. Best thing I got. We're going to go hear about the Lord. He's going to be exalted today. What about now? Well, we have such conveniences and technology, and it's all distractions. Everything's something to, we got to squeeze in time to read the Lord's Word. We got to squeeze in time to make it to services on time. And we got to squeeze in time to pray. And, well, I'll do that tomorrow. I have to get this stuff done today. Maybe your soul be required of you tonight. We think it's like, so with these, we have time to tell our children. Why do we have Passover? The Lord said, this is just a token. So that way at your dinner table, and your children say, Dad, why are we doing this? He said, because God was pleased because of his son's blood to bring us out of Egypt. That's where we was. We was in bondage. Tell that to your children. And your children, seek him early. Why are you young? Solomon said that. Wisest man born of Adam. We ought to listen to him. Lord, and Lord took that wisest man and moved his hand by the Holy Ghost. He said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Oh, they're coming even if you remember him while you're young. I promise. I know from experience. But that's a good thing. Seek him while you're young. Seek him while you're young. And many people in this room, as far as I know, didn't have no gospel to be preached to you. Didn't have parents to put you underneath the gospel. They didn't know the gospel. There wasn't nobody here to do it. And then now there's young people. Imagine them young people growing up. Seek him young while you're young. Hear these things. And Lord will bless it. You're going to have a hard enough life anyway. Seek him while you're young. That's for young people. Seek the Lord now before your mind gets wrapped up in this world. Seek him. Seek your creator. Learn these things. And we ought to teach them. And how can... And that's like when that child asks the daddy, why are we doing this Passover? Well, what about the preacher? It's a preacher's job. We ought to have programs for the children. No, I got to preach to mommy and daddy so they can tell the children at the dinner table. I ain't there at your house at dinner time, am I? We learned it here, and it's put to use out there, right? But that's also early in the day. That's for young people, not us old folks. Well, I'm old too. We need to seek him early in the day, in the daytime. Wake up early. Wake up early. Don't sleep late in the mornings. It ain't good. Go to bed early. Get up early. Seek a word from the Lord early. Wake up early. Read his word or pray to him early or read a bulletin or sing to him early in the morning. It's a good thing. It's good. Sets a tone for our day, doesn't it? You ever had days when you don't do it? It ain't going to work out good. Get before that sun rises. David said in Psalm 143, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Lord, today's your day. Be with me. I need you. Before the covers ever get thrown back and I set up straight, seek him early. Seek him early. What would make us seek him first thing? What would make us seek him early? Like what, your eyes wake up, that alarm clock goes off, and you say, Lord, be with me today. Let me see you today. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm in this flesh, and ain't no water in this flesh. I'm in this land here. There ain't nothing. What in this world... Homes and families and jobs and entertainment and activities and pick one, security of retirement or whatever. What satisfies your soul? Any of that? Some of you saying no. Some of you's with me and you're saying no. None of it does it? I thirst for you. I thirst for you. My soul thirsteth for thee. He said over in Psalm 42, he was writing a song for the sons of Korah. Imagine that one. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, just like a deer is panting for water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come to appear before God? When? I want to be with him. I want to hear from him today, and if I can't be with him today, let me hear from him. But maybe today I can be appear for him. I can be with him forever. I want to be where he is. If we're thirsty and we thirst after him, we're going to be where he's exalted and where other people are thirsty to hear from him too. We want to work. We got to get a drop. I need a drop of water today, don't we? And we want to appear before Him. Do we thirst for those things? Do I thirst to be in His presence? Be made like Him, see Him, at, I mean, just to smell Him, to hear Him. Our Lord, there in John 7, said in that last day, that great feast, He stood up and He cried. He wasn't boo-hooing because He was defeated. He yelled out loud so people would hear Him. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, He's fulfilling the Scripture, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If the Lord's made you thirst for Him, you know what's going to come out of your belly? Him. You're going to talk about Him and His power and His goodness and what He's done for you. That's just so. It's just so. If there ain't no river in there, ain't no water going to come out because you're dried up. That's just so. That Samaritan woman, she came to get water out of the well, didn't she? She came to get water that was in the well, and sitting on that well was the living water. He had to go down there and talk to her, didn't he? And you know what happened? He talked to her, had that whole interaction there in John 4. And they went back and forth, and he told her everything she'd ever thought and everything. He said, you drink it. She said, give me some of that water. I want to drink of that. I don't feel like walking up here no more. He said, I'm that living water. I'm at living water. And you know what she did? She went up there to get water by herself, didn't she? The woman left her water pot. Broken cisterns. That's what she was carrying around, Cass. All that old experience. And that's the way we always done. She left it. She threw that thing away. And she went her way into a city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Come hear him. Come hear him. Do you want to tell others where water is? I know for a fact there's men around this nation that tell people there's water right here in Hamul. I know it. They told me about it. They said, hey, go down there. That's how you got here, wasn't it? I tell other people. Well, you ain't an hour and a half or something from a gospel church. Go there. 45 minutes. What's that? It's nothing. You get to ride in an air-conditioned vehicle the whole way, or a train or something that ain't... A bicycle's better than walking. You walk for a year or so without having anything, you get a bicycle. I got one in Germany. And man, I thought I had a Mercedes. That thing was great. It was convenient. I appreciated that bicycle. Go there. Go where there's water. If we've been made thirsty and we've been satisfied with that living water, you're going to tell other people that you need to come get you a drink. That old mountain genius said, if preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And if that's so, witnessing is telling a thirsty person where you found water. Come have a drink, isn't it? I'll read this to you. Amos 8 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, not physically, but the hearing of the word of the Lord. The Lord has to bless it, but I want to do a good job. It's all His doing. But can we tap that well? Like, can we put sprinklers out? What can we do? Is that what He have for us today? Seek Him early. Wake up early in the morning and say, Lord, what can I do today? You gave me water. I got brethren out there. I want them to have water. Make me a diligent servant. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north even to the east, and shall run to and fro, seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. In that day shall fair virgins and young men, oh, they're great people, right? That's good, upstanding folks. They'll faint for thirst. My soul thirsteth after Him. We need water. That's a precious thing. But more precious than physical water, we need Him. What's refreshing about that water that we thirst for? What do we need to see often? What do we need to drink often? There in verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory. I have to see your power and your glory. So as I have seen there in the sanctuary. Lord, show me you're on your throne. Show me this glory is not mine or not somebody else's. It's yours. That's what we need to see. David experienced that. And I do too. And maybe you have. And you see the enemies of the Lord. You see our enemies. And their eyes stood out with fatness, don't they? And all their children are happy, and none of them's locked away, and they're all good citizens, and everybody gets along good. They ain't infighting, and they all come over for the holidays, and not one of them's trying to kill you, like David's was. And they're building churches, nice ones, man. I mean, with pews. And they're building on, they're adding on, and putting additions to it, and getting bigger parking lots. And David was so down about that. He was just plagued with trials the whole time. All that goodness was going on with everybody else. What was David seeing when he saw their eyes bug out with fatness? He was seeing man's power. He was seeing man's glory out there. What do you see in the world? Is that what you think? That's what I think. Look off. Business is a booming, man. What's wrong here? What's wrong with me? Must be my fault. It has to be. We're getting steamrolled, and just hang your head down low. But in his house, in the Lord's house, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I couldn't even think about these things. I'm just getting sick to my stomach. Until, Psalm 73:17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Oh, I want a 911 twin turbo too. I love Porsches. They look great. I always have. I like an old one. What's that? It's a hunk of metal. God's revealed his son. God's our God. I saw that in. Where? In a sanctuary. In a sanctuary. It says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in thy sanctuary. Where is that? This upper room. Where does God reveal himself? In a living room or a Bible study in a laundry room somewhere? No. When he gathers his people together for the preaching of the gospel, not the discussion of the gospel, not the here's what I think or here's what Gil said, the preaching of the gospel. When he sends a message through an old clay broken pot that ain't worth nothing to the hearts of his people, that's here. Do we get a fresh drink of cool water when we come here? Does that get us through for a couple more days? Do we look forward to it? Wanting a word from God? Wanting to be refreshed? This is that upper room we've been looking at. Lord has to teach us these things. I went through a course one time, and they said this is a progressive course. It was a math-based. And if you didn't learn 1 + 1 = 2, you ain't going to handle division. You know what I mean? You have to learn a little bit at a time, but you have to build on what you'd already learned. You know what the Lord does? We're saved. We're holy. Fit for glory right now. But we grow in grace. I drank water yesterday. Well, I'm going to have water today too, right? Don't worry about yesterday. Worry about today. Verse 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Well, it's the biggest part of my life. It's a central part of my life. Or it's better than life. Because of that, my lips shall praise thee. Loving kindness, I told you last hour, is an Old Testament word for grace, isn't it? God is love. And he's kind. How's he kind? He's merciful to sinners. And he can be both. He can be justice and grace. He can be both because of the person and the work of his son. Because of that, because of Christ, because of the Lord's loving kindness, my lips shall praise thee. He's not a big part of our life. He's not just a central figure of our life. He's life. And here, and it's better than being in this physical life, isn't it? Paul told that church at Corinth, he said, if you be risen with Christ, if. This ain't everybody. It wouldn't declare this to every person born of Adam. He's just talking to the Lord's people. He said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek his glory. Wouldn't it be good to wake up at 4:42 a.m. and say, Lord, you be glorified today. Make me walk in your paths, and that way you are glorified. No, you said it's going to happen, but I'm asking anyway. I'm going to petition regardless. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, it's italicized who he is. Christ, our life, he's life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. When he's coming, be there that fast, twinkling of an eye, we're with him, made like him forever. Because of that, because of him, he's revealed himself to us. He's our God. I seek him early. I thirst for him. Now my lips sing praises to him. Verse 4 says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands to thy name. When that new creation is just pumping, Peter said, stir up that new creation in you, and that new man stirred up. We bless the Lord, don't we? And we lift up our hands, we make a show in church, so everybody can see us, our neighbors can say, Kevin got the Holy Ghost this weekend. No. Everything I put my hand to, Lord gave me that job. What if it was cleaning toilets? We would do, that's good enough for government work. That's the Lord's toilet. I know some people don't watch modern television. And so I know I bumped into a lady. She said, I only watch Andy Griffith. Remember, No Time for Sergeants? Anyway, they told him to clean the bathroom. He polished the hot and cold off. They couldn't even. That's working unto the Lord, isn't it? If my heart's stirred up and I think of him, everything I do, I'm going to give it all I got. I want to live that way. You'll sleep good that way. You won't have no trouble falling asleep. I'll bless thee while I live. And what's that to? I talked before about them enemies. What about aches and pains? My right calf muscle is a lot smaller than my left calf muscle. Both of them small, but you can tell the difference. Because my ankle's messed up, my knee's messed up, my hip's messed up, the whole right side's messed up. Why? What's the Lord teaching me in that? You got some aches and pains and woes? What's the Lord teaching you? You got some providence that you just overwhelmed by day in, day out for decades? Lord's going to be glorified in it, isn't it? Can you see that yet? Well, no, but knowing that he's going to be glorified in it, that gives you a little breathing room, don't it? Gives you a little joy. That's a little drop of water. I got to tell this too. I don't know if y'all have ever been real thirsty. If you were super thirsty and I said, I got a whole jar of pickle juice for you. Well, what if you want something sweet? I've got sweet tea. Not like sweet tea, where you got to chew it. I don't want that. If I'm thirsty, I want water. It's one thing I need. Well, I'll sugar it up a little bit. No, we shouldn't. You don't want to put pickle juice in the IV, do you? No, put water in there. That's what I need. The Lord's teaching us something. He's going to be glorified, isn't he? Verse 5 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Whenever we see him, we taste of him, it's like the best bone broth you're ever going to get. Talk about better than bouillon. That's meat. That's marrow. That gets to the bone. That's what I need. That's what life is, isn't it? I'll be satisfied. You know what Jacob was? Joseph sent all his things. He said, that's good enough. That's enough. I'll take that. Let's go. Where's them wagons? He sent them messengers. I'm ready. Oh, if we could see him. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When we're surrounded by enemies, outside or inside or the body or the mind or whatever. You ever praise the Lord? You get down dark and you say, why me? And we feel so sorry for ourselves and we throw a pity party. Start singing unto him. Praise him. Like I said, write it down. Get you a pen and piece of paper. Or start singing. Oh, how merciful. How merciful. Blessed Lord. How merciful thou art to me. Be mad? Good thing. It's good instruction, isn't it? Lord, if he's got children, he teaches them. And he's teaching us something here. That's a good, his name is wonderful. His name, I thought all those choruses, I found that chorus book back in the office and used to be a bunch of copies of it. I got a few of them, but ain't no music to it. Lord might be pleased to give us a musician someday, but he is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. I sang that from a little tiny kid. I want these kids to know those things. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Sing about him. Is Arthur Itis showed up today? We'll put some Bengay on it and then go talk. Sing about him, right? Look at what he said. Where do we do that? We've come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him in his sanctuary. Here's where it is. If somebody's out by themselves, Darvin said that, I think, well, you all was down there. If somebody's out all by themselves, out in the wilderness in the desert, you're going to dry up thirst. I can't live like that. Show up one. Could you drink water twice a year or once a year? Well, we go down to conference every year. You're going to starve to death. I care for them. I want to be healthy and happy. Don't you? That, Kevin, that's mean. No, it ain't. Well, that's good. Look to him. Be where the Lord's people are. Verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And you lay down and go to sleep. Remember, we got up early. That's where it started. Wake up early. Don't be slothful. Get up early in the morning. Get after, seek the Lord right then. Seek his glory. Seek his kingdom. Then do what he's gave you to do that day. And at the night before you go to bed, I press for me. I want to hear these things. I want to think these things. You lay down, think on him when you lay down. Well, some of y'all have to get up in the middle of the night for whatever reasons. You got night watches. I've done a lot of night watches. Setting up guard towers and things on a wall. Imagine that. Lord might taught me some things then to teach me sitting on this wall. And the night watches. You wake up in the middle of the night, think about him. Think about him. I try not to because I can't go back to sleep, especially on Saturday nights. If I start thinking about what his word says, I ain't going to go back to sleep. It's sweet every time. I think I need sleep. I don't. I need him. Think on him. Think on him. Why? Because thou hast been my help, verse 7. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Whenever I'm under your atonement, that's the firmament we looked at in Genesis and creation, that covering. And I look at your robe of righteousness that you put over me. I'm under, like them hens that gather their chicks underneath their wings. When I see you've done all, that's you. You are my covering. That's what I have to have. When I see that, I'll rejoice. Where was David? Hiding out from his enemies, wasn't he? He's writing this. I want to write this when I'm hiding out from my enemies. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. That means it cleaves to. Well, I like those doctrines of grace. I want to get a hold of his feet and I don't want to let go. I've said this a bunch. And every preacher I know gives their illustrations 500 times and I like them. They always say that, give a warning. Like, I know I've told you this a bunch, but if I say I love that woman, I'm a good, faithful husband, and I love her so much. And when was the last time you saw her? Well, it's been about 6 months. Where have you been? Well, I sleep down at church. She sleeps up there at the house. I ain't seen her. I just see her on the weekends or something. What? You'd say that marriage ain't worth nothing. The problems, right? Young people tell you that. That ain't right. That ain't right. Because he's been our help, we're under his wings, our soul. It follows him hard. At all cost, we cleave to him. Cleave to him. And thy right hand upholdeth me. How do I do that? Well, I'm just a good, faithful Christian and I'm mature. No. Christ, the right hand of God, made me do it. He's brought me. And I ask him to. Now the enemies. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. David had been through a lot of war. He'd seen a lot of combat. And those people that die in combat, do you know what they do with their bodies? Nothing. They just laid there. And foxes would come out and eat them. And it would tear flesh off the bones. And then the rats would come and the dogs would come. It's a gruesome, gruesome sight. It's a horrible thing to see a human body drugged by a dog that's been dead for 3 or 4 days. That's terrible. And that ain't a drop in the bucket compared to what the Lord has for the enemies of his son. Kiss the son, lest he be angry. And that ain't, I'm on the right team. And that's what them mean old people, I won't plead with them. That's the outcome. Men and women, eternity bound souls is what I'm looking in the eyes of right now. Foxes, rats, and dogs. What a horrible thing. The Lord said that about Herod, didn't he? The Pharisees came and he said, get out of here. You better depart hence or Herod will kill you. You know what the Lord said? Go ye and tell that fox that just eats on death. Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. I ain't going nowhere. And the third day, I'll be perfected. Tell him I ain't budging. He came to me about his father's business, wasn't he? So he came to defeat the enemies that we had. Why do I need to worry about the enemies? That's the Lord's battle, isn't it? We just wait. That's what the scriptures say. Wait on him. Wait on him. Verse 11. But the king, that's a lowercase king. David's speaking of himself. And that's us too, isn't it? But the king shall rejoice in God. Those that he's made kings and priests, they shall. They shall. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. What a day that'll be, wouldn't it? When my Redeemer I will see, and I'll look upon his face and behold just the beauty of his grace and all the evil thoughts that's in me and the flesh that's corrupt, it's gone. So we is nothing but sin. What's that? I don't even remember. You remember? No, hush, he's talking. Let's hear what he has to say. That'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? I pray 8 out of the next 10 days, 8 out of the next 10 hours for you, we can rejoice in him and sing hymns to him in our hearts. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this song you penned to your servant David. Make us rejoice. Lord, make us thankful in everything. In your providence, in your creation, in this creation that we're housed in, Lord, in this body. Give us hearts that rejoice in Christ. Forgive us for when we don't. We'll be with our brethren that aren't here with us today and those throughout this world, Lord, that are surrounded by enemies. Give them peace and comfort. Make them rejoice. Thank you for this hour, Lord. Thank you for this upper room you've given us to hear of your Son. It's because of him we ask it. Amen.